today's chapter, chapter 17 in Exodus. It's not the 17th day, like everything happened in a row, chapter 1, chapter 2, you know, first day, second day. It did happen over a period of time. But if you recall all the things that happened, it's not likely that we would think we would forget. The list includes, that's why I've got the iPad, you had the 10 plagues. And several chapters covered the plagues. And if you were living at the time, you wouldn't forget the 10 plagues. It's worse than this virus that's today, because there was no place that the plague didn't hit, whether it was the locusts, the gnats, or whatever it was, the water that turned into blood. It was a mess. And it was a mess, not just once, but 10 times. And that 10th plague, every firstborn of every living creature died, unless you had the blood of the lamb around the door. Would you remember that one if that happened? I think I would. I pray I would. Chapter 14, that was just building up. Chapter 13, Pharaoh lets people go, and then you see the crossing of the Red Sea. And after they got across the water, but it was on dry ground, the waters divided. Here you have the Egyptian army and chariots and everything are just wiped out by God. I think if I saw that, I would be dumbfounded, speechless. And that's pretty hard for me to not have anything to say. But here, God showed his glory. So you get into, you know, the fact that in chapter 15, they sing a song, a praise. It's written there for us. But at the end of that chapter, they grumbled. It had been a few days since they had water, and now they grumbled because they were thirsty and there wasn't any water. And so here, God provides water. And the Bible tells us that the water in that particular spot that they had arrived at was bitter. And by throwing a log into it, it was now made sweet. Do you think if you saw that, you would remember that? Yeah. Then in chapters 16, you have this manna, the bread from heaven, right? And in the evening, you would have quail, all the quail you needed for the meal. And that's what you were to gather, just enough for today, unless it was Friday. And on Friday, you gathered enough for Friday and Saturday. Saturday was the Sabbath, and you had enough food to eat. I think I would remember that. But then, in chapter 17, they grumble again. They're thirsty. And this is where we're at. They got to this water point. Well, it wasn't really any water. But here, the water comes from the rock. And so it's called Massa and Meribah. Massa means testing. Meribah means complaining. And here the people complained and grumbled again. And now you get to the last verse. Is the Lord not among us? So there's two parts to today's sermon. Why is it we forget? And what is it we're forgetting? It goes right alongside of that. And the second part is, what is it that we're receiving that we should and can remember? For the people of Israel, these were remarkable times. Not easy times, I get it. But it was remarkable that here God was bringing them out of bondage from Egypt. He had broken the heart of Pharaoh to let the people go. God had raised up a leader by the name of Moses, gave Moses a sidekick, his brother Aaron, to help him. And time again, when there's a significant issue, God met his people's need. But what they did was, well, that was last week. That was yesterday. Oh, that was so long ago, you know, drama. That was, I need something today, you know. What happened the other day or in the past isn't doing me any good. I need something today. And that very craving, that starving of attention and solutions and fixing it and all of that led the people to question, is the Lord among us? When is it that we kind of fit that description? When you're on a long trip and you get a flat tire. What might come out of our mouth of words that we can repeat in this house, you know, Lord, why now? You know, why me? You know, why not that speeder that went zooming by me? You know, he could use or she could use a flat tire. They need to slow down. But I was doing just fine. And now this. And then all of a sudden, because we have a problem and there's no immediate fix and solution within our own means, it's almost as if we believe God has forgotten us. Some crises are worse than a flat tire. It may be the news that there's cancer. In our own journey, it was a brain tumor in our oldest daughter. It was bad enough once. We heard it twice. In your journey, you know, just think for a moment. What's been the worst thing that you've had to deal with? And the other thing I want to point out is, depending upon your age, your answers changed. Because if you were all 16, the worst thing that you had to deal with is really different if you're closer to my age now. Because if we look back on some of the things that we went through in childhood and teenage years, they really weren't that bad, were they? You know, the times that in my household we ate hot dogs and beans for a whole week. You know, we should have been thankful for the hot dogs. We weren't on a keto diet back then. I didn't even know about it. Do you understand? There's things that we perceive are terrible at the moment, but the older we get, some of those things really weren't that bad. But some of them are. Domestic violence, death in the family, on and on the list can go about how rough life can be. And yet the scriptures reminds us again and again that God is with us. And I think sometimes our mistake is we have an expectation that we put to God. That if God is real and God is for us and God is present, then we have a list of how things should be. And we have this expectation that all should go well and I should be healthy and prosperous. I don't mean filthy rich, but prosperous, whatever level that is, you know. And on, the kids in the house should behave, you know. We should have peace and quiet on Saturdays. You know, I have this list. Isn't that silly? And when my list starts disappearing and these things aren't being granted, all of a sudden, I'm ready to shake a fist at God and go, where are you? And are you there? Are you real? And so in our life, we question the existence of God when our expectations, our views of God don't seem to be met. And so what happens is we have the opportunity to go to the scriptures. And we get to compare what are my expectations with what God says about himself. And God says, I am with you always. God says, I never sleep. I never take vacation. I don't need a break. And I don't get exhausted. I don't wear out. God says, I have something precious for you, and it's yours, and it's free. And it's better than the things of this earth. And so he has this phenomenal inventory that he pours out for us. But our challenge is, we keep going back to my own list, and you know, God's wanting to give me peace of heart and soul and mind, and I want more dollars. God is wanting to give me eternal salvation, and I want more closet space. You know, God is willing to give me an eternal kingdom, and I want the newest computer that I don't have the money for. And on, we get this list. And we think, because we're God's children, this is what God should be doing. And it doesn't line up. And the people of Israel were like this. Oh, they didn't know about computers. But they had their own I want list. And it comes up several times in the times of the wandering, in the years of the wilderness. It comes up when they look back at their time of Egypt and they tell Moses, oh, you should have left us there. At least we had a pot with meat in it, you know. Like, is that really what God wants to give you? And that's all you want to focus on. And so they ask this question, is the Lord among us or not? But I think the opportunity is for us to switch the question. It's not about, is the Lord among us? Is, are we with him? Are we willing to follow him? Are we actively listening to him? Are we intentionally watching for him? Are we yielding our sinful nature by the power of faith? And letting the things of the world go and holding on to that which God really wants to give. And if you wanted to make a case that, oh, the people of the Old Testament had a great advantage, Pastor Wink. I mean, they got to see the 10 plagues. I don't want to see 10 plagues, by the way. Okay? And they got to see the water divided on the Red Sea. By the way, I'm not a great swimmer. That's fine. I'll read the story, you know. And they got to see, and later on, you remember when the snakes came? And the snakes bit all the disobedient people, but they had to look to the staff of Moses' rod, and it had that bronze serpent on it, and they had to look. I'll pass on that one. I'm a believer. I don't need snakes to look to God. But God has given us something to know his presence by. Baptism is an act of God, not an act of man. It's the power of God. It's God creating new life in the person who's being baptized. It's not something you and I can do just by our own say-so. The Lord's Supper is Christ. I can't see him. I see communion wafer, tastes like paper or cardboard, right? And I see communion wine. It's not my favorite brand. You know, it's not like I want a goblet. You notice the chalice isn't on there. You know, do you understand? God has made himself known. The very gospel in the scriptures, the good news that's in Old Testament and New Testament, the very gospel is God. It is the power of God. In fact, Paul writes that in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power. He talks about these are the things that God is doing and has given to be among us. And so we're silly if we start to act like the people of Israel in the days of Moses and we think, oh, that was last week. Or the things that God did are in history only and he stopped doing something today. Because the reality is that God is always with us. It's just we aren't always with him. We're not always with him in our heart, and we're not always with him in our thinking. Our focus goes elsewhere. Our cravings, our passions, our interests, even our fears drive us to look away from God and to whatever that direction is, whether it's inward or outward or material or mystical. It drives us to where we get to a point where we say, where'd God go? God didn't go anywhere. It's where did we go? And so, again, I want to just affirm for you, if you felt alone, don't believe the emotion, because God is with you. If you believe you're forgotten, that's silly. God remembered you in Jesus on the cross when he died once and for all. That means your name's in that group. That's how well he remembers you. In that book of life that's pictured in scriptures, he's given you that gift and eternal salvation, and your name is in a book. That means also he's not forgotten you. And when he's placed his word in your hands for you to read, that means he's made himself readily available. So if you're depressed, there's words of hope. If you're big-headed, there's words to humble you, by the way. In case you need to, if you need that, let me know. I'll tell you where those words are. But you understand, there's everything in there for us. All that we need, all that we require. And so it is my prayer that myself, Pastor Al, all of you, that we don't ever have to ask, is God among us? Because we know the answer. And the other thing, that by faith we see what he's doing. We see how he's working. And even though we don't have all that wisdom that he has to put all the pieces of the puzzle together and we know all the answers, it's okay that we don't. But we know God's hand is in our lives. So if we're so old, we're asking, why am I here? I don't have the answer. If we're so young, we're asking, how long will he take? You know, because we're impatient. I don't have the answer. But I do know he's here. I hope you do too. In Jesus' name.